Tonight I would like to direct your attention to Psalm 121. I wondered what I should do tonight. We've been going through the Psalms, and last week we dealt with Psalm 93, and I thought we could look at Psalm 94, and then I thought, well, it might be good to take a more broad view of things and to pick out one of the remaining psalms that speaks so clearly to us, and something so important at a critical point in our lives, a critical point in the life of our congregation. Psalm 121 is, next to Psalm 23, the best known psalm in the book of Psalms. Many people, maybe some of you, have learned it off by heart as a child. It's got a great theme: God's help, God's keeping of us. And He will help and keep you as individuals in days to come. He will help and keep this congregation in days to come. And I must address this psalm to myself also. And as retirement approaches, claim this psalm: He will help and keep me too. So let's look at it together. Psalm 121. Now you notice in the title of the psalm it says, A Song of Degrees. Now that's the title of Psalms 120 to 134. There are these 15 psalms which are songs of degrees. They were songs of pilgrimage, songs that the Israelites used as they made their way up to Jerusalem for the feasts. Three times a year the Israelites were required to gather in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, for the feast of Pentecost or in gathering, and for the feast of Tabernacles. And as they made their way up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. As they made their way up, they would be encouraging one another and rejoicing in the Lord. Singing would shorten the journey for them. And you and I, as we sing the psalms too, it shortens our journey as we make our way towards heaven. And it gives us peace and joy and assurance and comfort. There's a great blessing in singing the psalms. We should sing them on our own. We should sing them as families. Sing them with our friends. And sing them, of course, in church. They are inspired. They're different from every other song, from every other hymn. They come directly from God through His servants, but inspired by God, so that they are without error. They are perfect. They are from God. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ will join with us in singing these psalms to God's glory. Wonderful teaching, wonderful encouragement and inspiration. And God loves to hear His people singing these psalms. They're a great preparation for heaven. Because you've got to remember, you and I are on a pilgrimage too. We're on a journey. And we're on a journey to Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. The Jerusalem that's above. The Zion, where God dwells. Verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh mine help. Some people think that this psalm was particularly used by the Israelites when they would get the first sighting of the hills of Jerusalem. Others think It was sung on the evening before the final part of the journey, as they settled down in their camp for the last night of their journey towards Jerusalem. They would sing this psalm together. They could see in the distance the hills of Jerusalem. And this was an evening psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh mine help. Jerusalem, away there in the distance, that's where the temple was. It was the city that God had chosen to place his name there. You remember how the temple was on Mount Moriah. And we first come across Mount Moriah in the life of Abraham. God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him for a burnt offering on Mount Moriah. And Abraham made the 3 days' journey to that mount, built the altar, set the wood upon it, tied his son upon the altar, and only at the very last minute God said, spare your son. But God spared not his own son and delivered him up for us all. God provided a ram caught in the thicket. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ and the crown of thorns upon his head. The ram was a picture of Christ, a type of Christ. The ram took the place of Isaac. Later on, you remember, after the sin of David and numbering Israel, how the angel of the Lord in judgment went through the land, slaying, killing, many died. And God said to David to go and to build an altar in Mount Moriah at the threshing floor of Arona the Jebusite, on the top of the hill, Mount Moriah. He built an altar. He offered sacrifices, and the plague was stayed. The death stopped. The angel put his sword, as it were, again into the sheath. And there, on the site of that altar, of course, Solomon built his temple. The great temple of the Old Testament. And when it was built, the Lord came down. And the presence of the Lord was so powerful in the temple that the priests could not enter the temple to perform their sacred duties. Later on, that temple was destroyed because of the Israelites, because of their sins and their idolatry. But you remember Daniel, when the command went out that nobody was to pray to any other god but to the king, to the emperor, how Daniel opened his windows towards Jerusalem. And he prayed towards the ruins of the temple, the place that God had chosen. He set his face thitherward. And he prayed 3 times a day, as his wont was, as he used to do. And for that he ended up in the lion's den, but God sent his angel to close the mouths of the lions. And then the second temple was built there. And our Lord Jesus Christ entered into that second temple and gave it even more glory than the first. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, looking there toward Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, to the temple of the Lord. Well, you and I are to be looking to the temple of God also. We're told to run the race with patience and perseverance, looking unto Jesus, pressing on toward the mark, the finishing post. At the end of our pilgrimage, at the end of our race, at the end of our battling, as it were, through this life, There is the hill, God's hill, the hill where God has made a great feast for his people. There is the New Jerusalem. Set your affections on things above. Seek those things that are above. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Remember, your life is hid with Christ in God. Live in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't be earthly minded, but keep looking up always. Lift up your eyes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. So often you and I are so busy, aren't we? Busy with work, busy with chores, busy with responsibilities, busy even with the pleasures of this world. And our time is so taken up with the things below. No, friends, lift up your eyes. Remember your pilgrims and strangers in this world. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Lift up your eyes to heaven and keep your eyes upon Mount Moriah, upon the New Jerusalem, upon Zion. John Bunyan pictures the Christian life as a pilgrimage. You remember a journey from the city of destruction to the celestial or heavenly city. And we see there the pilgrims struggling on against various trials and tribulations. Sometimes he would get a glimpse. He would get a glimpse of the hills of God, the hills of the delectable country, the delightful place, the heavenly hills. You remember how he's shown a picture of a man raking in the dust, looking for treasure in the dust and the straw. Above his head there is one holding a crown. But instead of looking up to see the crown and to receive the crown, he's pawing away in the dust, looking for pearls in the mud and the mire and the dung. Is that not you and me? Searching so often in the mire of this world for happiness and pleasure, instead of lifting up our eyes to see the crown that the Lord is offering to us. My help, verse 2, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We cannot look to man to help us. Man is so feeble. Man is so deceitful. Man promises and doesn't do it. Man is such a hypocrite. Even the very best are weak. My help cometh from the Lord. God. God is my help. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits of present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures by the still waters. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He hath prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. Our cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because the Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord is my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth. The one who helps us is not someone weak. Not someone with limited strength. We look up at the heavens, the starry expanse of the universe. How mighty. We look at the earth, the mountains, the valleys, the oceans. God made it all. He made it with a word. He commanded it into existence, all out of nothing by the word of his power. My help cometh from the Lord. Is there anything too hard for God? Your God is too small. Lift up your eyes to Jehovah. I am that I am. I am almighty. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, because our God is great. He made heaven and earth. Why are you so reluctant to pray? Why are your prayers so limited and so feeble? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Think of the pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem. They didn't have tarmac-adamed roads in these days. The roads were just rough, rocky paths. There were boulders to trip over. There were slippery places where you could fall. There were holes where you could twist your ankle. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Climbing up the hills and the mountains, climbing down into the valleys, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That was true of pilgrims going to the feasts in Jerusalem. But it's also true of you and me. We too are pilgrims. We're on a journey. And there's things we can stumble over. And there's holes we can fall into. And there's snares that the devil sets for us. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The devil is setting traps, death traps. If your eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you. Better to enter into heaven with one eye than to end up in hell with two. If your hand cause you to sin and to stumble, cut it off. Better to get into heaven with one hand than having two hands to end up in hell. Jesus was warning us. And here there's a promise to those who put their faith in the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. There's so many places where we can slide down into the ditch. Slide over a precipice. But put your faith in Him, and He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Remember, you cannot trust yourself. Remember, pride comes before a fall. Think of Peter. Though all forsake you, I will never forsake you. I will die with you. But he did forsake, and he did deny his Lord. And you and I, unless we're kept by God, unless we have Jehovah upholding us, we too will deny our Lord. In days to come, may you be kept from folly. In days to come, when there's perhaps disagreements among you, may you act in love constantly and seek the help of God. And in days to come, when I too can be in danger, because it doesn't matter how long you're on this journey, doesn't matter how old you are, until we cross the Jordan, there's always danger. May I be kept from falling, kept from bringing shame upon God's cause, kept from defiling my garments. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You and I must more and more and more put our trust in God. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. If you go with your own understanding, contrary to the scriptures, you're sure to stumble and fall and to be badly hurt. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The gods of the Canaanites, they were fertility gods. Baal. And the Canaanites had the idea when winter came and the leaves fell off the trees and the vegetation died back, that Baal was sleeping. But he that keeps Israel, he doesn't go into hibernation. He doesn't sleep. He slumbers not nor sleeps. He's a God who's awake all round the year, winter as well as summer. He's a God that's awake at night as well as during the day, 24/7, right throughout the year. He that keeps Israel never sleeps. This is our God, a God we can always contact. A God who's never away from the throne of grace. His door is always open to receive us. His ear is always bent down to hear our call. His arm is always ready to stretch it forth to save us. What a God we have! Always awake. Always able to help, always concerned about his people, the mighty, living and true God, the mighty God of Jacob, the keeper of Israel, he never slumbers nor sleeps. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord is thy keeper, thy guard. We've got protection. Wherever we are, whatever happens, whatever situation, we've got the shepherd of Israel keeping the flock, looking after them, watching over them. We've got the captain of the host fighting for us, the great general of heaven, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. The Lord is thy keeper. Lord in block capitals, that's Jehovah. I am that I am. I am your God. I am the covenant keeping God. I'm the God of your fathers and the God of your children. I am the God who will care for you in the future as I have done in the past. I will be what I will be, and none can stop me. None can say to me, don't do it. I will always be there, always to help you. He that keepeth Israel. Next week we'll be seeing delegates from all over the world coming to Glasgow. And no doubt they'll have their bodyguards. And there'll be all these security folk around. We've got the best bodyguard of all. We've got the Lord. He's not only a bodyguard, but he's a soul guard as well. He that keepeth Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand, a shade to protect, a shield. Remember what God said to Abraham, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Thy shield. When the devil sends all his fiery darts against us, these arrows come in from every side. How difficult it is to protect us. But when the Lord is your shield, every single fiery dart falls harmlessly at your feet. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. We're told a fascinating story about Ezra. Remember how Ezra led a group of captives from Babylon back to Jerusalem at the end of their exile. And he was given the golden vessels from the temple, the treasures from the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had taken away to Babylon. The emperor of Persia gave him these. And he wondered what he was going to do. He had told the emperor that the good hand of his God was upon him, and that the Lord would bless those who waited upon him. The Lord would bless his people, and their enemies would be destroyed. But now he had a problem. He had this long journey to make. There were dangers. There were robbers. There were enemies around who could attack. What was he to do? And he called a fast there by the river Ahava. He called a fast and they spent time in prayer. And they pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord proved to be their keeper and to be their shade upon their right hand. And no harm came to them. Men, women and children, very vulnerable. But they made their way all the way back to Jerusalem, hundreds of miles, and they lost nothing of the wealth that they were taking back for the temple. God is the hearer and answerer of prayer. Ezra said he was ashamed to ask for soldiers from the king, to ask for protection. Because he had said God was his protector. And trusting in God, he was protected. Yes, trust in God and you will be protected. Under whose wings thou hast come to trust. Lovely words that were spoken concerning Ruth. Under whose wings, under the wings of the Lord, thou hast come to put thy trust. And see how blessed Ruth was, a poor widow from Moab. And she became the wife of Boaz and the grandmother of King David and a mother of the Messiah. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. In the Middle East, sunstroke was a great danger. You remember how the Shunammite widow who had been so good to Elisha was given in reward the blessing of a child. When the little boy grew up somewhat, he was out with his father in the field. But there wasn't sufficient protection afforded to him. And he came to his father saying, my head, my head. His father took him home to his mother. And his mother sat with him there in her lap until he passed away. He died. Sunstroke. Thankfully, Elisha was able by God's power to bring him back to life. But sunstroke was dangerous. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The moon which rules by night, and we think of all the dangers of the night and all the things that can happen in the darkness of the night. But nothing shall smite you by day or by night. Satan going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Heretics who would come into the church and would lead you astray and teach you false things. The danger of the lusts of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The world, the flesh and the devil against us. Don't leave us, Lord. The Lord is thy keeper. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Friends, we believe in the perseverance of the saints. Where God begins the good work, he brings it on to the day of Christ Jesus. Those that enter in through the gate into the narrow way, those that enter in by the new birth, by repentance for sin and faith in Christ and the mighty powerful operation of the Holy Spirit, they will continue. They will persevere. They will keep on going. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them me is greater than all. No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. No, where he begins the good work, he'll bring it on. He will ensure that whatever experiences come our way, all things work together for good. Even the various evils, the various trials and tribulations which come our way, they will all at the end of the day contribute to our good, because the Lord shall preserve thee, kept by the power of God. What else can keep us in the midst of danger? What else can keep us in a world full of trouble? What else can keep us when the powers of darkness are seeking to destroy us? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thy going out and thy coming in. Going out of your chamber, going out of your bedroom in the morning, going out of your house, thy coming into thy house, coming into your bedroom again at night at the end of the day. The Lord shall preserve you, going out and coming in. Every day, whatever happens, you look to him, you trust in him, you follow him, and the Lord preserves you. Why? Because he chose you. Why? Because he loved you. Why? For his own free choice, not because of anything good in you, but he loved you from all eternity, and he made you his jewels. And in the day when he makes up his jewels, not one of them will be lost. Not one of them will be missing. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. all his people. Each one individually, each one of you, the Lord has made this promise. He will preserve you, all you who love him, all you who trust in him. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forever. Whatever tomorrow brings, whatever next year brings, whatever the next decade brings, whenever death comes and judgment comes, makes no difference. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That refers to you then as individuals, and it refers to you as a congregation of God's people. It refers to me too. We're to claim these promises by faith, and all the promises of Scripture are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. In Christ, they're all ours. Out of Christ, there's no promise. Claim Christ, and claiming Christ, you have everything. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee that we have a great preserver. We thank thee that we have a great master, a great king, a great Lord. We thank thee particularly that we have our Father which art in heaven, the one who has adopted us as his children, and who has bound himself to us to be a father unto us. O Lord our God, we thank thee that thou wilt be a father to us forever. We thank thee that thou didst elect us from all eternity to be thine own. That thou, Lord Jesus Christ, did die for us on the cross of Calvary. And that thou, third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, did come into our heart at the new birth and take up thy residence there, uniting us to God. And therefore, we shall never perish. So help us then to lift up our eyes to thee. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. Help us then to lift up our eyes to thee, the God of Zion. In Jesus' name.